the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, Jesus. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've
done for us. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing grace, your unfailing love. Thank you.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing, yes I will, the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest nights. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. Goodness of God. so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
crashing in the pressing. You are making new wines in the soil. I now surrender. You are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be.
Thank you. Lord. That's our prayer this morning.
Yes, amen.
That's our prayer, Lord. Father, with hearts of gratitude, we say, Lord, with fear and trembling, we say, do what you've got to do. The new oil can come forth. New oil can come forth. Lord, as grapes are pressed, as the olive is pressed, the oil comes. As the olive is pressed, the oil comes. And Lord, thank you that that is the great metaphor of our pressed life. The Bible says, I'm closed in, I'm pressed on every side. But Jesus is with me, and he's making me new. He's creating oil in me. Oil represents the power of Holy Spirit. Oil represents the power of Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Oh, somebody. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a seat. Enjoy Jesus. I feel bad. I feel really bad because you're going to get blessed out of your minds today. Give me some lights, camera action. Let me see you. Let me see these faces. I feel bad because you're going to get blessed. I feel bad. Actually, I don't feel bad at all. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about this more at the AGM in the number of weeks, but I just wanted to communicate some stuff, a little bit of a, just a place of declaration, of just a place of urgency. I believe that as a budget this year, we balanced an incredible, we struck an incredible balance between courage and fiscal responsibility. We've shaved wherever we can shave in our budget. And our budget is about the same as last year. But we've shaved as much as we can. But we are holding on, declaring, and believing for the sowing in people's lives. We've chosen to be more generous to our departments so that they have tools. We've chosen to be more generous to our mission organizations so that they have tools. But all of that takes revenue and increase. So I just want to simply say thank you for what you do. To meet our budget, we are going to have to increase dramatically, but we're trusting Jesus. Somebody say amen. We're trusting Jesus. So Father, bless this offering today, we pray in Jesus' eternal name. And Lord, thank you that you're going to bless, you're going to bless, you're going to bless, you're going to bless. Amen. Rob, as you come, I just have one more quick announcement, and if you announce it again, that's fine too. But speaking of believing and declaring, February 15th is our corporate prayer meeting, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Last Saturday, we gathered here, and the Spirit of God met us in such a powerful way, and good things happen because we pray. So we are believing for a large number of us to come, to linger, to soak in God's presence, to seek him, and then we're going to gather together and we're going to pray for the things that God wants to do this year. So put that in your calendar, February 15th, 7 o'clock, Saturday evening. Love to have you. Amen. Here's Rob.
Hey. How's everyone? Good? I'm just doing announcements quick. I know sometimes it's repetitive, but just a quick thought first. Just as sort of an FYI for everybody, and I know a lot of you are very prayerful and mindful of the things that are happening, and we all know that we're in a battle. And tomorrow, Todd and Tammy and myself and Lindsay and Ash and the kids are heading to Banff for annual general conference for 4 days. And so if you could keep us in your prayer, I know it's a time that can just have so many things that want to distract us and just bring our focus away from what it needs to be, whether that be health or otherwise. And so I just ask that you keep us in your mind and in your prayers for the next few days as we take off and just trust that God is going to refresh us and give us life and give us direction and vision and connect us as family and, you know, in our own families and as this family, that this week will be very pivotal for all of us. So please make sure you do that, okay? Just going to go through announcements quick. Welcome. All right. Youth Unlimited fundraiser is next Sunday. Yeah. So Dan and Colton will be speaking. It's going to look a little different. I'm excited. It's going to be good. But if you can, stay after, have some tacos, hear about everything that's happening with Youth Unlimited and Incline and Timber and Life 360 and all that good stuff. So please join us next Sunday. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited. Ladies, you have a games night the following Tuesday, so that's next Tuesday, 9 days from now. So put that in your calendar, sign up. As Todd mentioned, that following Saturday evening at 7 is prayer, so that's the Saturday after that, so mark that. The next Tuesday, 3 days later, is AGM, so there we go, there's that. Join us for that to talk everything that's going on in church life for the next year. The next Saturday, right after that, is men's breakfast. There we go. We haven't had one for a while, so I'm looking forward to it. We've got a guest speaker, and it's going to be really good. So please join us for that, guys. And the same day, and sort of as part of the same event, we're going to be having road hockey as well, so that's going to be immediately following. But let's be super clear. If you don't want to play road hockey, come to breakfast. Like, come hang out with us. It's okay. I understand if you don't want balls shot at you. It hurts. It's not a good time. But it is a good time. It's so good. So we've got two events happening the same day for guys, and it'd be awesome if you'd join us for both or one. Please feel free. And then the next day, last but not least, on the Sunday morning service, we have baptism. Yeah, let's go. So if you're interested or have questions, please talk to myself or Pastor Todd. Amen. Boom.
Good. Good morning. Okay, you're a quiet bunch today, so we're going to break that in the name of Jesus. Let me try that one more time. Good morning! Sunday! It's Super Bowl Sunday! Wow. Yeah, and all you ladies are going, this is fantastic! Tammy, that excites me. Yeah. Wow. This is fantastic. I'm excited right now. Okay. Now, how this is going to marry and weave together is going to be incredible, so just bear with me. We're continuing our series on when storms come. Everyone say, when storms come. One more time. When storms come. They are inevitable. Storms do come. The issue is always, what do we do when the storms come? And we're going to finish this series next time. Or again, we're going to marry that with the power of God on families as well. But our whirlwind tour, I just want to take a couple of minutes, and then we want to go into, I'm very, very excited about today, some teaching. So get your whatever, your iPads ready, get your notebooks ready, because we're going to be navigating through some very vital teaching that'll give you tools for your life. Storms come primarily from three places. They can come from God. We talked lots about that last time. They come from the enemy. And lastly, they come from life. Now, when we talk about storms coming from God, it's easy, it's understandable, it's self-explanatory. If a storm is coming from God, you know full well it's for your good. Getting our attention, either we're unsurrendered or we're running from our calling. Guess what? A storm from God, ask Jonah. He will get our attention. And if you were not able to be here last week, then I want to, hopefully it's posted already, and listen to it online, and then that'll help you with the full series. There's not as neat a delineation, though, between storms from the devil and storms from life. And this is huge, because this will really help us navigate today. It's a little foggier in the sense of where they come from. Hard to separate these two storms, primarily because the enemy, unfortunately, can jump on a natural storm of life and wreak even more havoc. But greater is Jesus. Somebody say amen. Greater is Jesus in us than he that's in the world. Today we're going to venture to talk about the storms that come from the enemy. And this is what I want to do today, and this really basically gives us tracks for this morning. Who does the enemy attack? Now, I know, thank you, Captain Obvious. That's great. He attacks everybody. But it's specifically important to understand how he attacks, to who, why, and what we do about it. So, you didn't know that you were up for one of the most important mornings of your life, did you? Fantastic stuff. Got to bring a little bit of theology to help us understand this. And let's begin. Know today, church, there is an enemy. He's real. He's bad. In fact, the Bible says that he is the liar, the chiefest of liars. He is the deceiver. We're going to read and understand lots about that. Not for us to have fear, not for us to quake, but for us to be mindful. The Bible says that Jesus comes to give life and that abundantly, but the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. The unfortunate thing is that often in the world, even in the church, if you can believe it, some would deny that there is a force, there is an enemy. And then unfortunately, probably equally as dangerous, as some people are absolutely fixated on it. Let's get fixated on Jesus. How about that? I needed a lot more loud amens in that one. If you're going to get fixated on something, let's get fixated on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end of your faith. Now, remember last week I talked about a little story, a little nursery rhyme, or a once upon a time. This is a once upon a time, but this is a truth. This did happen. And this is the theology that you have to understand to help us navigate through this entire service. At the beginning of time, the Bible says that because of the devil's pride, his insatiable appetite for power, he was stripped of the highest ranking in heaven and was thrown out. The Bible says he was thrown into the lower regions to be eternally punished. The enemy, his plight is to be eternally punished. How many people know that he's not thrilled about that and he's wreaking havoc because it's the old adage, he wants to take down as many people as he can with him. But greater is Jesus in us. We read in Isaiah 14:12, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. Many versions actually use the word Lucifer instead of morning star. Son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, to the lower regions. You have been thrown down. You who destroyed the nations of the world. Isaiah 14:12. You can take a picture of that one if you want. Now, understand, this is spoken namely about the king of Babylon at the time of its writing. But prophetically, it is spoken about the devil. And if you were to look at Luke 10:18, Jesus uses very similar language, and he says, Satan, I saw Satan fall from heaven, and we rejoice. Now, let's talk about us. Sometime later, we're not given a clear understanding of the chronology of when this happened, but humans fell. Thousands and thousands of years ago, that's what we know. Aided by the taunting of the newly dethroned devil. I came up with that line all by myself. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that good? Yeah, it's really good. Aided by the taunting, the teasing, the luring of the newly dethroned devil, the angry devil, the Bible says that humans, Adam and Eve, thanks a lot, guys, disobeyed God. And with that, caused the fall of humanity. That's a theology and a truth that we know. The Bible says they were kicked out of the garden of paradise. And they too would be subject to death and eternal punishment. Hallelujah, isn't this great news? Amen. Aren't you glad the story doesn't end there? Come on. Come on, saint of God, someone shout. The story doesn't end there. Unlike the devil, God has got a plan of redemption for his prize, his treasure, the one that he loves more than anything else in this universe, and that is men and women. That is humanity that he loves and adores and has a plan for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the plan that he doesn't want any of them to perish but have everlasting life as they surrender and yield to the one who died on a cross and came back to life. His name is Jesus. We are his prize. We are his treasure. We are, the Bible says, the apple of his eye. He gazes on us with delight. He loves us. He loves us. Somebody say, he loves me. He loves me. That's the game changer when you know you're loved. He loves me. And he's got a plan for us because he loves me. Oh, saint of God, that's good news. Saint of God, he loves me. For all who will surrender, for all who yield, that glorious redemptive plan is for you. But apart from that, the Bible says you will die on your sins. It's very simple. Jesus says, I've made a way, you must take it. I've given a door, you must walk through it. I've given a plan, but you must act upon it. John penned the words of Jesus as he's speaking to disciples, as he's speaking to Pharisees, uptight religious people. Ugh. And as he speaks to the general audience, the general crowd, he says, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. In other words, you will die in your sins unless you know that I am the king, the living one, the answer for the world. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, says in Romans 3:23. No one in themselves can reach God's standard. That's the good news, church. No one can reach God's standard, but there is one that met God's standard. He is the perfect one, Jesus. You take Jesus, you've taken on perfection. Marley, write that one down. That's good news right there. That's good news right now. Take Jesus. Take the perfect one. So in simplest terms, you will die in your sins if you're not a Christian. Now, interesting to know, there is no one born a Christian. Did you hear me? There is no one that is born a Christian. The Bible says we're born broken. We're born in need. That's why Jesus came. I find it interesting the world, how they would want to justify, and we were all in the world, let's be honest, all of us were in the world. It's like that poor Don Cherry talking about them people. Them people. Hopefully if I say that, I'm not going to get fired, am I? No, good. Anyway, but you know what? We want to separate ourselves from we're good, they're bad. We're okay, they're awful. So the world will say, well, you know, some are religious people, some aren't. Those religious people, well, they've always been religious, but I'm just not religious. So it's all good. God loves everybody. Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it, but the Bible says that no one, and religion, oh, what a terrible term in the sense, in that context, but the Bible says no one is starting, no one is born a Christian, you must become one. No one is born a Christian, you must become one. No one is born a Christian, you must become one. How many people here would like to become a Christian today? How many? Is there anyone in this room that would like to become a Christian today? Take Jesus and have life. I'll just wait here till, well, the game doesn't start till what, 4:30, 5 o'clock? What time does it start, Ty? 4:30? 4. Oh, okay. I'll have to move quicker then. Okay. Does anyone want Jesus today? Now, let's take this one step farther, and then let's close. Yeah, right, sure. It would seem apparent because of our rebellion and sin, though, against God, the Bible says that the enemy actually has a foothold on the earth and on the people. And this is very, very, I want to do a whirlwind tour here because I want to do communion. I want us to take a hold of what God has today. I wish it wasn't true. I wish it wasn't so that so much credit was given to the enemy. But the Bible says he is a formidable foe. Countless scriptures talk about who he is, and this is what I said originally about knowing who he attacks, how and why, and what to do about it. There's the message today. Are you ready? Is everybody ready? Whirlwind tour. Let's go. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, the Bible says. The God of this age, and that is the enemy, that's a term for the enemy, small g, defeated foe, but he has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. In fact, the New Living Translation says, Satan, who is God of this world, has blinded the minds of all those who don't believe. All those. He's a formidable foe, and he does have power. The Bible makes it clear that he has power to blind, to dull, and to distract. Almost like keeping people in this mystical fog, keeping them from the redemptive power of God. But greater is Jesus. Let's go on. Next one. Lots of scriptures allude to this. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, another term that's used of the enemy, called the devil or Satan, as the scriptures say, who leads the whole world astray. Not just some, not just those that aren't mystical or aren't spiritual. He leads the whole world astray. You were dead in your trespasses. That's everybody. In which you walked according to the course of this world, the spirit of this world, according to another term used of the enemy, is the prince of the power of the air. I find it interesting that one of his terms, one of the definitions of who the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. He cannot be everywhere at once. Jesus Christ, God, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, can be everywhere all the time. They're omnipresent. The enemy cannot be everywhere all the time. He only can be in one place. That's why he has his agents, demons, and they're sent out, and they're given assignment to wreak havoc on people. Now, this is, and don't hold me on this one, but this is my opinion, this is my theory, and I want us to just understand the prince of the power of the air waves. Air waves. I believe that the enemy, his great assignment is to attach himself to television, to video, to radio, to cast out messages of puke, of noise, of garbage, of filth. Watch the TV and you see the power of the enemy casting out filthy things in the power of the air. But aren't you glad Jesus is everywhere? Now, last one. For the mystery of the lawless is already at work. This is eschatology reading, as Paul is talking about the end of the age. But only until the one who is now restrained is removed. And then the lawless one will be revealed, an agent of the enemy, whom the Lord Jesus will destroy with the breath of his mouth, annihilating him by the manifestation of his coming. Somebody say amen. The coming of the lawless one is apparent in the working of Satan. All who uses all power, signs, lying wonders, and every kind of wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. The enemy's storm on non-Christians. For the message, listen, for the message of the cross, the work of Jesus Christ, the finished work, it's foolishness, it's ridiculous, it's lunacy to those that are perishing. But to those who are of us are being saved by its power. Come on, church, come on, church. We're being saved by its power. We're coming out of darkness and we're going into light. The moment you surrendered your life to Jesus, the Bible says you came out of quicksand. You came out of death and you were placed into life. Now, interesting, term that the Bible uses often. It says those who are perishing. It's a definition or title. And those who are perishing, the Bible uses in reference to non-Christians or those who haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ. And it's very descriptive. It's very obvious. If you don't have Jesus, you're perishing. See, the Bible says, Paul says, yeah, as Christians, yeah, our body's wasting away, but our spirit's becoming alive. I'm going to. See, months ago, someone, you know, they said, well, this old gentleman that was at least 60 came and talked to me, this stranger. An old 60-year-old came and talked to me. Oh, I totally am. Oh, I totally am. And Tammy laughed. You look old. And then yesterday or Friday, she goes to McDonald's and she decides to buy a coffee and she got it on sale because it was the senior's price. Ah! So she gives me a picture, takes a picture of the little receipt, and she goes, I saved 28 cents, but I'm not quite sure I like this. We're wasting away, but aren't you glad those in Jesus, we're being revitalized, we're being made alive, and our insides in Christ are being strengthened. Hallelujah. Even if there is more. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. I have this little emoji. Jillian knows about this. She made an emoji for me that looked like a fat, old 90-year-old. I'm not bitter. So Tammy decided to make it younger. So he looks about 15, and he's blonde. And he's got the pomodoro, beautiful, you know. But unfortunately, it does look a little young for me. And Taven or Nevea, I can't remember which one. Which one? Taven. She says, because I sent this, you know, emoji of me, and she says, Poppy, that's not you because you're old and wrinkly. We're wasting away. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. Remedy to the non-Christian. This is our good news. Oh, this is good stuff, church. Remedy to the non-Christian. Any non-Christians in the room? Here's your remedy. When they are attacked, deceived, blinded, virtually made nothing but a pawn, the remedy is easy. If the enemy wreaks havoc on the lives of the disobedient, then get obedient. Problem solved. Now, the Bible, when it says the disobedient, it's in reference to the non-Christian that is not surrendering. Number two, if the enemy blinds non-believers, then believe. How is this for easy? Number three, if the cross is foolishness for those that are perishing, But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Then get saved. There's the remedy. That's how you get lifted out of the dungeon. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. The answer, the author, the finisher, the beginning, the end, the remedy for the world, come to Jesus. I didn't say come to church. I didn't say try your best. I didn't say hang out with Christians. I said you surrender to Jesus and find life. Preach myself happy. The Bible says that when we have Christ, we now see clearer. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Everybody, I can see everything in my way. It's going to be bright, bright, bright. Sun, sun, sunshiny day. Oh, I once was blind, but now I see. Was lost, but now I'm found. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit from Jesus Christ, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We can see things now. As soon as you come to Christ, the grass is greener, the sky is bluer, love is, you get a revelation of how much you're adored. Now, it's the Christian's job to fight for those, to contend for the blind. Because how can you come to Jesus if you're deaf and blind? How can you come to Jesus if you're deaf and blind? If for those that are willfully resisting him, or for those that can't make, listen to me. For those that either willfully resist God or just can't make any sense of heaven and hell and spirituality and religiousness and all that, just can't make any sense of it. It's the church's job to pray that their scales on their eyes will be removed so they can be saved. We do that. You know why we do it? Because someone did it for you. You, everyone in this room, someone prayed for you that your scales would come off. Peter Daly, my science teacher from grade 11, prayed for me every day for 4 years when I was running from God, when I was running from him, when I got into Mormonism, when I got into all sorts of garbage and crap. He kept praying until the day the scales came off. And I surrendered to the master, to the king. So it's the enemy that just wreaks havoc on the non-Christian, and Christians have smooth sailing, right? Amen? Finally, let's close with this. When the enemy attacks Christians, the reason I wanted to bring delineation between this is because the weapons are different. The situations are different. If you're a non-Christian, then you've got no power. You've got no hope. You've got no capacity to fight the enemy. You only can when you become a Christian. We as Christians are stirred because we believe that God wants to set the blind free, that the spirit of revelation will open blind eyes, that those scales will come off. Just like mine, just like Paul's, there was a ferocious, rotten, mean, destroying person until the day the scales came off in his life and he was set free. Back in revival, in the revival days, back in the powerful renewal days when we were in Grimsby, I had never witnessed the fire of God like this before. Yes, we were charismatic. Yeah, but this meant nothing. I witnessed and stepped into the fire of God. It was glorious. It was terrifying, but it was wonderful. Tammy got set free. I got set free because of the power of God. There was renewal meetings that would go 3, 4, 5 hours. I could witness times where the entire congregation would travail and would wail and would cry and sob for those that are perishing. Travail would come over the entire congregation as we wept for those that resist God, that power would be broken. That's our job. That's our job. So when the enemy attacks Christians, this is our scripture for today. This is from our text. Paul says, the final word, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand against the strategy of the devil. This was spoken to Christians. This is the strategy for Christians. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's not a flesh and blood enemy. It's not personalities. It's people. It's not about people that drive us nuts. It's about the prince of the air that's deceiving people, that's destroying people. It's against evil rulers, authorities in this unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. And I thought, wow, what an interesting way to marry the metaphor of Super Bowl Sunday. It's the picture of an enemy. It's the picture of mounting up and getting ready for the fight. Someone will win today. Now, unlike that, there is no what to the football players, the other team is the enemy. But you know that we have a real enemy. Last story, I promise. Okay. We're just married. We're on our way to Peterborough. We got married in Kempville. We were moving to Peterborough. I know it means nothing to you because it's in Ontario, blah, blah, blah. Bear with me. But anyway, and I'm this on fire, glowing in the dark, Christian, fire of God, ready to take on the world. And then there was Tammy. Sweet Tammy. Oh, how we have, it's almost like after 34 years, it's almost been this blend of, I've become sweet and tender. She's become this giant for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, we've got this, our truck, our half ton is full of furniture, and we had this solid oak case, had to have weighed 4,000 pounds. Okay, we're driving along, and I noticed that our conversation stopped as the room in the cabin of the truck got colder and colder and more eerie and more weird. I didn't realize I had never, ever witnessed an actual assignment of the enemy like we did that day. It was the first time that I witnessed the eerie, dark, yucky of the enemy. And we know that was because we were being launched into ministry. We were going to go and we were going to go to Bible college and allow God to do glorious things. But I remember thinking it was so gross. In behind, you know how the window of the half ton, and it was just like we were frozen to the road because we knew that there was a demon right there. And I didn't want to look back because I knew I would see him. And then it was just like, hi, Tam, how are you? Good, you? Pretty good. do you feel anything? Yeah. It's pretty gross, eh? Yeah. Oh, dear. And I turned around, and that oak chest was thrown in the air like it was a piece of balsa wood. And picking this now garbage off the highway in this dark night, all that to say, there is an enemy. There is an enemy. And he was there as an assignment. That opened my eyes. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. That was a time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness, shoes from the peace that comes from the good news that has been fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation, the helmet, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit all the time and all occasions. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all the believers everywhere. Saint of God, blood-washed child of God, no, the enemy hates you. But greater is Jesus. He hates us. This is the most significant part of this message. I need you to get this. He hates us because we are God's treasure. And the devil hates God. The enemy especially hates us now. Listen to me. Because our eyes have been opened and we can see the world for what it is. Loved by God, but broken. And we can now know who we are. Finally, for the first time you come to Christ, it is the first time that you can finally now know who you are. So the enemy has to use a different strategy to the Christian than he does to the non-Christian. The Bible says that the non-Christian is lost, has no hope. But for the Christian, to carry this metaphorical language, he looks for the chink in the armor. He looks for the chink in the armor in our lives. Saint, he looks for that. Referring to the area of vulnerability or weak spot as his way to access into us. Now, everyone hear this. Put this in your phone. This is done primarily by lies. The Bible says that he is the father of lies. He tells us lies, and unfortunately, we believe them so often. Now, you got to tweet this week. This quote: Satan can't stop who you now are in Christ, but his lies can stop you from believing who you now are in Christ. Did everyone get that? The enemy cannot stop who you are. If you're blood washed, you're blood washed. If you're redeemed, you're redeemed. If you're set for heaven, you're set for heaven. He can do nothing to ruin that, to thwart that. Somebody say amen. But what he can do is give us lies that we stop believing it and live accordingly. So don't believe his lies. Don't believe his lies. Get into his book. Know the truth about who you are in Christ. We've got literature out there in the booth about who you are in Christ, the lies of the enemy, and the truth about God. How many books have been written about the battlefield of the mind? Get a hold of the truth. Worship team, if you could come back, we're going to do communion now. But I want you to know this full well. The remedy for the blood-washed child of God is exactly that. We see it in the second half of our scripture that we're looking at today. It's imagery of war. It's the imagery of a Super Bowl fight. And it's about getting suited up to win. Getting suited up to win. To win. It's strong language, but it's strong language to alert us about a real battle. All of it. All of it. Again, think of the uniform of the football player. The body armor. is of God's righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith. Play something beautiful. Play something beautiful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Have you got your helmet of salvation on? Are you not listening to the lies of the devil, but you're believing the truth that who you are in Christ? There's people that aren't here today because they're listening to the lies. Don't listen to the lies. Listen to the truth. Because the truth applied in your life will set you free. The truth in your life will set you free. Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, all of it. All of it. Is metaphorical language of knowing God and applying it to our lives. Knowing His Word, applying it to our lives. We extinguish, we resist the enemy's attack when we put on the armor and we keep it on. Put on the armor, church. Listen to me. Listen to me. Put on the armor, church. There's not a week that goes by that I don't hear the enemy say, "Oh, would you just stop this? Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit? It's useless. You're wasting your time. Why don't you just quit?" Shut up, devil. In the name of Jesus. Shut up. Jesus lives. And He's got a plan here. He's got a plan for everyone in this room. He's got a plan for everyone in this room. He's got a plan for everyone in this room. Ah, you'll never get any better. You'll always be making a mess of your life. Shut up in Jesus' name. Jesus is setting me free. Jesus is setting me free. Ha. Oh, it's like electricity in here. Come on, men. Get up here, ladies, men. We're going to have some communion. We're going to have rejoice. We're going to have a time. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You unravel me.
Thank you, Dad.
With a melody.
Yeah, yeah.
And you surround me with a song.
Listen to the King. Listen to the King.
Of deliverance.
Keep the scripture up, please.
From my enemy.
Keep that up.
Till all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer
a
slave.
I'm not an orphan. I'm not a slave.
I've been
Hallelujah. I think there's some victory in the house. What do you think?
Yes.
I think there's some victory. I think some lies are being broken right now.
Amen.
I believe some truth. There's a truth encounter happening in this room right now.
Amen.
That people are taking hold of the truth and they're being transformed. What's the Bible say? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
10 feet tall and bulletproof because your mind is renewed.
Amen.
Not believing lies anymore. Communion is a glorious time. It's a glorious time for the saint. See, we call it as Christians, we call it being blood washed. That just means that the blood is the only thing that can cleanse us from sin. Psychotherapy, medication, nothing works. Nothing sets us free from sin but the blood of Jesus. Now, I would do a great disservice this morning if I was not to finish with this. See, it says the enemy has control over non-Christians, and the remedy is to become a Christian. The only hope you have against him, if you take Jesus and continuously yield to his spirit. Now, how does that happen? If you've never surrendered to Jesus, what you do is you have to pray, and then you have to come to 14 Bible studies and 76 courses and come to church every Sunday for the rest of your life, and hopefully you're good enough to go to heaven. No. You surrender to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. Is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus yet? Surrender to him. Just a simple prayer. Lord, I need your help. It's not working for me. My sin is keeping me from you. And I am a pawn for the enemy. I need you to take over my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've just prayed that prayer, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. If you'd like to talk to me after the service, that would be just great. Now, we're not exempt from the enemy's attacks. It's just with Christ now we have hope, the only hope. We can win the battle with Jesus. Remedy? Put on the armor, keep it on. Put on the armor, keep it on. Get in this book. Help yourself, afford yourself the little documents in our newcomer booth area. Knowing who you are in Christ. Read it every day. Declare it every day. It silences the lies of the enemy. Breaks insecurity. Breaks insecurity. Oh, my. Breaks insecurity. I don't know if that's landing. I don't know who that's for. Break the power of insecurity. To the saint of God, to the born-again saint of God, communion is special. Because the Bible says we remember what Jesus did. For as long as we gather, we keep doing this until his return. We keep doing this, remembering that he did it. He finished it. He won. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed by the enemy and by his forces, he came as an assault against death, hell, and the grave, and he took the bread." He gave thanks and he said, "I'm going to die for the world. Until I return, keep doing this." Let's partake. Until I return, keep doing this. After dinner, he took the cup, the goblet of wine, and he said, "This represents a brand new contract, a brand new covenant agreement between me and all who will surrender to me. It's my blood. and this will wash all of your sin, all your death, all your regret. All your death, all your regret. This blood will wash all regret. That's landing in this room too. There's some regret in this room. The blood of Jesus removes all regret. Did I say the feeling of regret? No. It'll remove regret. And now we keep fortifying ourselves to get the feeling of regret gone. Keep doing this until I return. Let's partake. Your loved saints, if someone has surrendered to Jesus today, welcome home. Welcome home. Stand with me, church. As we close, the Bible says that, again, metaphorical language, he talks about the shoes, wearing the shoes, messenger of God, wear the shoes of good news. Messenger of God, wear the shoes of good news. Tell people about Jesus. Just think of it. The world is lost without Jesus. Lost. Doesn't matter if your neighbor has 14 boats and makes $400,000 a year and could care less about God or spirituality. The Bible says he's lost. He's lost. If he makes $350,000 a year, or if he's broke and has no job, he's lost and needs Jesus. Oh, pray for your neighbors. I'm praying for my neighbors all the time. Jesus, please. Spirit of God, go to them. Spirit of God, I pray angels, I loose angels to minister to those, to my neighbors that will inherit salvation. Invite someone to church next week. We're going to have Mexican food, and we're extracting all of the calories out of the sour cream. Somebody say amen. $10 each or $30 for a family. But just invite someone to church so they can receive good news. Come on, somebody say amen. Receive good news. God bless you. You're loved. You're really loved. Really loved. Rejoice in him. Walk in his truth. Extinguish lies. Walk in his truth in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's just sing one more time. Hallelujah.
God Almighty reigns.
church.
Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb.
What a king.
Amen.